You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Welcome to episode 1 in the weeds, where we look at weed and vegetation management across Tamaki Makaurau. This episode is proudly brought to you by 95BFM for the love of bees, and very kindly by Michael Lett Gallery. This is the third sub-episode of our first topic, glyphosates and weed management in Aotearoa, where we will be discussing future thinking, avoiding resistance, and integrated weed management, both globally and in Aotearoa. We start this sub-episode by posing the question, what does future thinking look like away from built resistance?
So the international weed community has been very clear for many decades now that what we need is what's called integrated weed management. And this applies across all agricultural pest management disciplines, this integrated management. The idea is first, you identify when a pest, a weed, whatever, is becoming problematic, and you only take action when it has become problematic, the real and actual harm concept. And then you look for the least harmful option for controlling it. And in agriculture, we use the metaphor of toolboxes, and we talk about a toolbox of physical techniques such as thermal weeding or mechanical weeding, just hoeing something out, biological, chemical, and ecological techniques. So what you have to do is create diversity, just as a herbicide will used, the same herbicides used multiple times will result in resistance. If you alternate using that herbicide with a mechanical technique or a thermal technique, you reduce the likelihood. So weed science is very, very clear on this. We need to use this diverse range of tools and essentially keep the chemicals. The farmers are very clear on this. They need to keep the chemicals in the shed as the option of last resort and use other techniques where they are effective first, so they can keep the chemicals going as long as possible. Because for them, the herbicides and the agrochemicals are actually a miraculous kind of technology, as in Arthur C. Clarke's Any Advanced Technology is Indistinguishable from Magic. They are quite phenomenal technologies. The way we're using them at the moment is just abusing them, and they will then be lost from farming.
If I could make a point about IPM in the urban horticultural sense, with all due respect to IPM managers, but most of the ones that I've spoken to when I talk about integrated pest management, and I say, well, so you're not using chemicals, you're using other methods. It's a, you're kidding? It's the catch-all in order for them to be able to say, we use integrated pest management, therefore we are doing the best job possible using the chemicals that we choose. And they back that up by, in our environment here and in the US, it's, and because the EPA or the APB may say it's safe to use, and we follow the labelled instructions and we use best practice. So I don't hold the current IPM for urban horticulture in very high regard, because it's generally choosing the least most toxic chemical. And unfortunately, in their eyes, glyphosate is still the go-to. And they say, well, if we don't use glyphosate, well, then we might have to use something, you know, that we know is carcinogenic. That whole paradigm needs to shift. And, you know, moving towards a redefinition of whether a plant is a weed and whether it needs to be removed. And what's the source, breaking that cycle, where's it coming from? Does it really need to be controlled? Is it really damaging the asset, or is it aesthetically not pleasing? What are the dangers of leaving it? And there's a whole lot of reasons why they should be removed, but some weeds are really not a problem.
So what Jeremy's just been describing is typically referred to as integrated herbicide management, and this is a common problem. Yes. In the shift from a chemical exclusive control system. When they try to move to an integrated system, they often fail to realize and start using these other tools. They just start diversifying their herbicides. That's not integrated weed management, that's integrated herbicide management.
The applicable to the urban roadscapes, and well, in fact, the rural as well, is that everybody is absolutely right. I mean, we have got solutions here. I mean, we've got solutions for replacing glyphosate and other chemicals with the thermal products, but what we have experienced and what we have found here in practicality in Auckland is that when new contractors come on board and they're told you have to manage the streetscape's vegetation with a thermal product, their only experience is with using a herbicide, with a truck going down the road spraying the curb and channel. So when they then take on thermal product, whether it's foam, steam or hot water, they tend to use it as if it is a herbicide, and it fails, and it's too expensive, and they don't understand. So this whole question of using of an integrated practice, they know nothing at all about it. It's like all our contractors are completely ignorant. And the weed management policies that were developed, and the particular one that I say that of Auckland City, it's not just how you treat the weeds, it's integrating a process so that you eventually end up with a situation where you don't have to do any vegetation control. There should not be cracks in the edges of the pavement that weeds are going to grow in. There should not be sediment in the curb and channel where seeds are going to take root and then have to be sprayed. Sweep the channels, mend the curbs and channels, develop systems that actually do not require mowing of the grass. You develop systems so that berms maintain themselves. What's wrong with having low growing, non-spreading things? But nobody is putting anything into that sort of integrated practice that would take away the chemicals and safeties.
So it's not just about dealing with weeds, because bare earth, as we know, will grow something. So it's actually about having a system that actually attends to that bare space with something that's not problematic, so that actually over time you are doing exactly what Hannah suggested.
I'll just quickly add the comment in there that what we're talking about is designing out weeds. And this is the first step, again, of the integrated weed management. It's not just kind of going, we don't like this plant, what can we use to kill it? It's doing that, stepping back and going, is this plant causing real and actual harm? And then thinking, okay, how do we change the environment so this plant doesn't exist, you know, in the future?
Once you've designed out weeds, there's also specifying for various levels of presentation standards. The level of tolerance and the expectations are set with the general public and you know, those that would be the ones that are the most vocal, that we have some expectations set that means there is a certain tolerance for acceptable vegetation in areas. That will reduce the interventions. Then if we were going to implement a non-chemical regime, then we should be identifying those areas where we just shouldn't be spraying. Now, I guess we all share the view that there is no need to spray anywhere. However, the reality is that through Europe, they identified areas that were the no-spray zones, with firstly where it was going into catchments for potable water, and then areas that were chemically where there was chemical sensitivity in the general population, school zones, playgrounds. So you do overlays of that. And I think it's really important that we accept that there's a variety of modes of action. You know, it's that toolbox. It's the mechanical, it's the competitive planting, it's the mulching, it's whipper-snipping mowing. And there are a range of thermal weed controls. And being able to use all of those tools so that if we start off with an area that requires extensive vegetation control in order to bring it back into the desirable presentation standard, you might go from an 80% weed coverage down to a 5% weed coverage. Now, I'm an advocate that the most effective way of doing that is using a thermal weed control method. But then when it gets down to 5% weed coverage, the energy used to do a thermal weed control could tip the balance to saying, okay, well, if we're really just doing a backpack and a spot spray, then using one of the fatty acids is maybe most appropriate. So it's a matter of looking at what's in the toolbox and progressing to get to the acceptable level of presentation.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.